This is your NPR News Station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. Bessemer and Kimberly are among the towns cleaning up after a series of tornadoes plowed over Alabama Monday night. The storms killed three people statewide, tore off roofs and downed trees. It's a familiar sight to anyone who's lived in Alabama for very long. But the latest round of tornadoes has Alabama Media Group columnist John Archibald thinking about one word in particular, miracle. He joins us now, as he does most Thursdays. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Andrew.
Well, unpack this for us a little bit. You know, why do you call this a miracle? Why do you think about miracles?
Well, if you, like you said, if you've lived here for a while, particularly if you do what we do, you see a lot of these things. I mean, you can go back and count 98 and 11 and 94 and all these places. And what strikes me is every time on the morning after, you get up and you walk out and you see these things and you meet people whose lives have been destroyed and their homes have been destroyed and their families have been destroyed, and there's so often that they look exactly the same. You know, buildings fall, and there's not really any rhyme or reason why people are dead. They're prepared or they're not prepared, but still so many die. And when we woke up this week, you know, we found that in our area anyway, there were no deaths. And considering all we've seen in the past, I find that pretty miraculous.
You also write that whenever you think of a tornado, you can't help but think about a Methodist minister named Kelly Klim. Tell us about her.
I do. That was the 94 Palm Sunday tornado at Goshen United Methodist Church, and her daughter died in that tornado, as did 20 members of her congregation. And I'll never forget the day. I mean, everybody was asking her about her faith and how she could go on and how she could still lead a congregation in the wake of all this, and asking why. And she stood out there on her lawn, still swollen and bruised from the storm herself, and you know, basically said, you know, number one, we live in a natural world and we have faith, but we don't know why. The important thing is to help each other get through it. And I think in a situation like that, that's the answer.
So we don't know why, we just have to help each other get through it. I guess, is that the lesson you take?
That and one other thing, because right after she said that in that yard, she had a little Easter egg tree that had fallen over in that yard. It was her daughter's who was dead. And she said that, and she walked over to that Easter egg tree, and she picked it up and she replanted it right there in the ground. And I always thought that was a real symbol to going forward.
Well, also this morning, when Alabama's two-year college scandal erupted 8 years ago, few probably thought it would result in a free speech case before the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, this week, justices heard the case of Edward Lane. He was a former director of a community college youth program who fired a state lawmaker for taking a salary from the organization while not doing any work for it. Lane was later fired after testifying at the lawmaker's trial. And John, explain where things went from here.
You know, he was a whistleblower who was fired for telling the truth under oath after being subpoenaed. So he sued for his job, saying his violation, his First Amendment rights had been violated. And he got beat down in the courts here. He basically said, you know, because he's a public employee, he can't sue under on that ground. But finally, the Supreme Court of the United States has agreed to hear that and actually heard arguments Monday.
So they heard that over the issue of whether or not public employees, when subpoenaed, have First Amendment rights protection. What's at stake here?
Here in Alabama, well, anywhere, really. I mean, you think if there's an absolute incentive for a public employee not to testify, not to speak out about wrongs and corruption in government, it has a real chilling effect on the ability of the public and law enforcement to find out what's going on in government, and it is a real possibility for a real detrimental effect.
The decision might seem to run counter to common sense, but First Amendment rights have limits. Offering a blanket protection for public employees can be problematic as well. One of the justices pointed out that, you know, if an employee comes to court in a clown suit, you would want to discipline an employee for doing that. You can't extend First Amendment protection for everything.
Yeah, well, I don't even know what that means, though. I mean, by the very nature of that comment, that's saying we're going to suspend common sense. I mean, if we had common sense, we would not discipline those who tried to make our communities better and by abiding by the law and testifying against those who have done wrong.
Well, you mentioned a chilling effect. Whistleblowers already face many obstacles, be it personal, professional, systemic issues. Is this case really going to change that if they do rule against Lane?
Well, if they rule against Lane, I mean, it won't change that, but it will intensify that, because there are already enough reasons for people to be too afraid to speak. with this, we just give them one more reason to look the other way.
Well, just a moment or so left, but a recent Gallup survey looked at whether people are satisfied with where they lived. About 83% of people in Birmingham said they were, which sounds good, but Birmingham also comes in at 134 of the 189 communities surveyed. So, John, what do you make of that satisfaction?
Well, honestly, the thing that struck me the most was how satisfied overall people were. If you could find 8 out of 10 people to agree on anything, you would be pretty amazed about it. But apparently, across the country and the state, where Birmingham, frankly, is better than Mobile and Montgomery, by the way. If you could find 8 out of 10 people to agree, you'd be pretty happy.
John Archibald is a columnist for the Alabama Media Group. You can read his column each Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and online at al.com. John, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.